Yo, that shit again. Stop inviting your ass here.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You want beef with the king, what you gonna do?
Okay. I was almost right. I was about to say that, but I know I was gonna screw up some lyrics, so.
Nah, you was good. We know how you are with lyrics. It's cool.
Know when to hold on.
Know when to fold on. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
Keep whatever you want to say.
Ooh, give me some more flavor. Yeah, boo, talk your shit. Yeah, boo, talk your shit.
Girl, words can't express the way I feel for you. The way you hold me, the way you touch me. Girl, everything you do to me, you know I like it. Don't stop now.
Sirski, welcome to the Untitled Podcast, your favorite podcast, aka the greatest show on earth. I'm your host, Jordan, on the voice, Jordan Vibes. I am Boob. I got my guy with me.
What it is, what active, it is.
The most active, active dads, huh? King Mod himself.
Hey, man, I made it back.
Recurring guest, huh? Recurring guest.
What's going on?
The Charlemagne and my booby booty. Huh? I done embraced it, nah. I didn't embrace it. Nah, fuck it. I'm gonna embrace it.
Hey, man, I'm here. Y'all gonna be hearing a lot more of me.
Yeah, man.
But I'm here. God damn it.
Yeah, man. I didn't embrace the villain role, and I embrace Mod coming on. It's being the Charlemagne. You know, Charlemagne and Joe Budden had like a little show they were doing for a minute before they started back beefing again.
We just can't beef because our grandmas were friends.
Yeah.
So we can't beef.
Nah, I'll break their hearts.
Yeah. So
yeah, can't do that. Ain't gonna be no beef. Yeah. But we here.
We just breathe.
Yes, sir, man. So, this is episode 147, I believe, of the Untitled Podcast. So the reason I went with the old school shit, right? Because I was having a thought.
Okay, what was the
thought? This ain't on the list, right? But I was having a thought. So
that was, but that was also feel good music.
Yeah, for sure. And we need to feel good.
We right? did.
You know what I mean? Niggas is dealing with a lot of shit.
Long week.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, long week, man. So like, I was just one day, I was just riding and listening to old school music, and I thought about a tweet that I seen that was like, these niggas don't cry in the rain no more, right? And I was
like, ain't begging no more.
Yeah, these niggas ain't begging no more. And then I was like, y'all really caught the wrong type niggas. Cause truth be told, it's a group of niggas that was right before them that was talking some shit. That boy Babyface said, I only think about you on two occasions.
Come on.
That's day and night. You feel me? Come on. Yo, Luther said, I'd rather have bad times with you than good times with someone else. I'd rather be beside you in a storm than safe and warm by myself. Nigga, you know what kind of coochie? Better have bad times. Do you know what kind of coochie you gotta have? Huh? For a nigga to say that, I'd rather be beside you in a storm than safe and warm by myself?
Yeah.
Listen, man, listen, man, this shit came on.
Snapper turtle.
Yes. This shit here came on. Hold on. I'm so to you, girl. Did I do it, baby? Come on, man. Imagine. Come on, man. Just make
this
you want
to.
You feel me? We getting it.
Everybody just sway.
Everybody
just
sway. Side to side. Put your hands in there. Everybody. Just light up something, man. Grab your lady, man. If you listen to the podcast with your girl, if you don't, you should, man. We ain't trying to start on the show. We're trying to spread love. You hear me? Come on, man. It's a feel good podcast. This is a feel good episode, man. We're going to feel good about this after, man. This is therapy for y'all. Come on,
therapy,
man.
Therapy for the soul.
Come talk to me. Therapy for the soul, man. I started with Soup for the Soul. Shout out to B and the boys, man. Huh? Woo!
Woo, spin around.
Yeah, spin around. Yeah.
Little nose touch.
Yeah, ooh, that's what you really love. But listen, man, do you know how raw you gotta be? Think about it. I done took you, we done went out, have a good night, came home, blew your back down, blackout, all that shit. Then the next morning I'm in there in my drawers cooking breakfast with this shit playing. Didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? What? Come on, man. Different, dog. That's the one. That's what niggas be looking for. Damn, nigga singing in the rain. And the toxic shit is a nigga singing in the rain. Every nigga who sang in the rain was toxic.
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
With a boombox.
With a boombox. You know why?
A boombox in the rain is...
I would never.
It's kind of diabolical.
I would never.
It's kind of diabolical.
A boombox in the rain is insane. Never. Never would I. A boombox?
What was going on with them?
Mm-hmm. You fucked up big.
Leather shorts.
Come on. You had little shorts on the homecoming.
Hey.
You feeling a little freaky.
I was feeling a little, ooh,
little yeah. You feel a little jazzy. All you needed was a vest. You feel a little leather vest, no shirt. Huh? You been feeling real naked. You been naked all summer. Been running with your shirt off. I've been seeing you.
I got hazed up.
Yeah,
I've been hazed up. They told me if you don't feel good about it, then you work a little harder.
Nah, that's
we said shirts off.
Nah, that's real. That's
shirts
real.
And blouses.
Yeah, come on now. Take that shit off.
Shirts and blouses.
You know what I mean? Stop playing. Nah, that's real. I feel it. It's not when you go to the pool when niggas won't wear their t-shirt in the pool. Nah, take that shit off. You've been fat. You was fat before you got here, nigga.
I never really understood why people put shirts on in the pool. Because I feel you're going to look bigger.
When you get because out of the water and that shit stuck to you. And now we really see how fat you are.
Now we got
to
peel it off you.
Now we see how fat you really are.
Like a little band-aid.
Yeah, I don't know why niggas wear shirts in the pool. Like we didn't know you were fat under it. Like it was a secret. I'm high.
We see what it is.
I'm high, nigga. We know. You a little chunky.
When we were on family vacation in Orlando, Dad had the shirt on in the pool. I said, hey, take that shirt off.
Yeah, nigga.
Take that shirt off, bro.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I ain't shame. All right, come on.
Yeah, yes, you are. You're lying,
skins.
Nigga. You saying? Yeah, skin. So
skins.
Take that shirt off. Look, my daddy, the only nigga I know that got a gut and abs at the same time. Like, bro, I still do my workouts and all that shit, but once I saw my pops at his age kind of rocking out the way he was rocking out, and now I'm getting to the age he was at when he had me. Fuck that shit. I seen the pictures. Pops had a red cup cooler. Little ski in his hand.
Go ahead, Pops.
You feel me? Come on now.
How was your week?
It was good, man. It was good. It was busy, man. Hectic, man. Real hectic shit at work. Still adjusting, man. For those who may not know, the podcast has made a move to Charlotte. I never actually formally announced that.
Yeah, we're official.
Yeah, it's official now, man. The Untitled Podcast has shifted to Charlotte, man. We are still the port zone. So
welcome to Queen City.
Yeah, man, appreciate it, man. I've enjoyed my time here, man. You know, so me and Pete took a we went to a Lucky Day concert.
Welcome to Charlotte. It's, yeah, it's always something new.
Yo, man.
And everybody stops through here.
Dog. Like, I was like, because she was like,
Jeezy will be here in a couple weeks.
I saw Jeezy coming. We going to Wale. I got his Wale tickets.
Okay.
Wale's in September. We went to the Gunna concert a few months ago. Who else came through? Meg. Paige had Meg.
Y'all
tickets.
Just doing it up.
Well, I didn't go. Paige didn't go either. P didn't go either. Yeah. She bought tickets, didn't go. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know what I mean? We definitely, you know what I'm saying? Definitely been getting out. You know what I'm saying?
Take
enjoying
advantage.
The city, man. Because I was like, damn, like it really is always something to do with the motherfucker.
Always something to do.
Like, it's a, and being from Savannah and being so used to having to create a move and say, well, let's just go do this. Let's try something different. Here, it's just what you want to
like,
do.
Damn, it's something already planned out.
What you want to do? All I'm looking for, honestly, in the fall, and maybe you can point me in the right direction. So niggas had made like a habit of right when it gets cool, hitting a little jazz fest. Getting the cooler with your drinks.
Yeah, they do have there's a jazz fest that comes to Uptown.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a jazz fest that comes to Uptown. I like stumbled upon it one day because it was a lot of stuff going on. As you'll see, it's always stuff going down in Uptown Charlotte. But I like stumbled upon it, and then I was like, it's like a legit jazz fest.
Yeah.
And it was going on all day, so it's on the way.
Yeah, man, definitely.
And they also have a lot of outdoor movies too. At Camp North End with the screen. People come.
You drive and enjoy it.
Nah, so there's a huge turf at Camp North End. Oh. That's where Mad Miles is.
Okay.
And they put the movie on out there and literally everybody on the turf.
Oh, okay.
Bring drinks, food, whatever you want.
Blankets and shit and stuff. Okay, that's lit. Yeah, I got to check that out, man, because that's my type vibe, man. I'm an outdoorsy nigga, but I'm an outdoorsy bougie nigga. Like,
there we go.
You know what I'm saying?
So would you go camping?
I don't know if I do.
I really want to go camping, but nobody wants to go camping.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do the camping
thing. Oski said, because Oski does have a beautiful home, beautiful backyard. He was like, we could just do it in my backyard.
I'll do that. I don't know who Oski is. I do it in the backyard, though. Yeah. It's fenced.
I want to go that real. Yeah.
No, I'll do that. I
want to go that real. Are you sure?
I think you want to go real camping because you like grew up in Savannah and you really went like into outdoors and country shit.
I could
like,
absolutely I know what's
out
hate
there.
It.
I know what's out there.
Yeah.
Like, I know what's out there. Like, niggas in the woods.
I could absolutely hate it, though. I'd be like, but I did it.
You know, that shit's not safe.
Okay, another alternative that someone told me. You know how they have the tiny cabins? Have you seen those?
I'll do that.
Everybody go.
I'll do that.
That
somewhere in
So there, I think it's like an hour and a half outside of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a little, probably it's like 20 of them.
Yeah.
And I know a group of friends. Everybody's got their own cabin.
That's lit.
And
I do that.
They did camping that way. They did like a little bonfire. And they said there's a lot of restaurants and stuff that aren't far from there. But then everybody was in the same vicinity. But it was like, you know, we camping. Well, not camping, but you got the cabin.
It's like a little couples thing or kind of on your own? Okay. Okay.
Couples, singles, bring your little.
Is room enough in the cabin to wrestle?
I believe so.
Are the curtains? The ones I seen ain't no.
Ain't got no curtains.
That type of party, huh? Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Don't you worry about it, bitch. I know somebody like it.
Yeah, it is.
So I do think there's some whiff curtains
over. Watch.
Without pickle.
Don't need no Tyler Perry to put on the plane here, baby. Show you the Diary of a Mad Black. I'm gonna show you what this shit here looks like, nigga. Huh? I'm gonna show you four color girls. Hey, watch out there now.
But yeah, so but everybody that wants to go camping, they do have the small ones, you know, with curtains or without curtains, because you know.
Mm-mm.
Some of y'all freak in the morning, freak in the evening. But we don't shame here. We don't slut shame. We don't kink shame here. You know, whatever
you into, man.
That's your business.
Yeah, as long as you stay safe, get a safety word, you good, man. You good, man. I'm with it, man, for sure.
Did we talk about Tyler Perry's movie?
No. No, we did. We touched on it. We did touch on it.
Just an update, they said that movie caused a lot of people, like some of the most subscribers.
Of course. I mean, besides outlandish shit, right? And like in hindsight, it wasn't the worst of movies.
I never finished it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, it's not the worst movie.
After they picked the body up, I was like, oh God.
Turn the shit off. It's not the most terrible. I mean, so I feel like you gotta remember where you at, right? Like you're in a Tyler Perry movie. Start there. If you remember that part, the rest kind of falls in place. So I feel like we knew we were in a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. So now let's lower our expectations. to what we're watching. Now, okay, of course they're gonna pull the fucking body out of the casket, right?
Yeah.
Like, of course they're gonna say that, you know, we live an hour outside of Atlanta, but somehow niggas is getting there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the details, get rid of the details.
Don't really match.
Yeah, live in fantasy with Tyler, and then you good. Well, okay. You want Tyler Perry shit to be realistic and make sense?
Yeah.
Nah. Got news for you.
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I know that's something it. We did speak on that made a lot of sense for the culture was the Olympics.
Yeah, man. Yes. Shout out to
I feel that was the most patriotic I've seen so many of my peers for a short period of time.
That's the only time we love America is during the Olympics.
I mean, it was God bless America.
It is.
America.
And that's the only time we loved in America either.
Yeah.
Like, the only time as a black person you're saluted in America, literally, is in the Olympics. I think the only white that wins shit in the Olympics is Michael Phelps.
I was just about to say, it had to be swimming.
You got to be. That's it. Just the one shit that we don't do.
So what were your best moments from the Olympics?
Oh, man. So I really enjoyed watching Team USA basketball, man. Men and women's.
Good.
Yeah, it was good. You know, there's a time where it would just be blowouts, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you watch it. We got the best players in the world, and they just dominated, man. But the world has really caught up, man. So it's really enjoyable to watch those games, and they're actual close, competitive.
Games
it's not
just...
Yeah, 50 plus 1 point wins. Like, nah, like, y'all niggas don't get out of mud. And the flip of it is that the men's were, you know, the men's side, they've caught up. The world's caught up. It's going to be a game. On the women's side, the women's haven't lost an Olympic game since 1996.
Sheesh.
And they played France in that game. I turned that shit on Sunday.
France has something to say.
Man, yo, they got some shit, man. They shout out to Gabby Williams, man. Played at UConn. I didn't realize she was French. That little motherfucker was wee-weeing everywhere, boy. She's tearing their asses up. Ooh, shit. Yeah, 1 point win for the women, man. And that was a real exciting game to watch because they was on the ropes. Like, they had to walk that shit down. The men, too, and Steph Curry went into alien mode as usual and took off, man. So that was exciting, man. I've really taken a liking to watching Simone Biles. That was a real inciting moment for me. I'm fuck little bro name up, man. Kid from Maryland.
Quincy,
yeah. Man. Love watching Quincy get him a gold medal. That was dope. Imagine getting
it was,
a gold
it
medal.
It was just so much good on top of good.
It felt good.
So much unapologetically being black.
Yeah.
As well. That. I love the grills.
Yes, man. Love that.
What was my boy name in the track?
Yeah, I know you're talking. I can't think of his name, but yeah.
What's his name, Quincy?
It might have been Quincy. He looked like a Quincy.
I think it's Quincy Hall.
Yeah.
I want to say it was Quincy Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That man was running for his life.
Yeah, boy moving.
That man was running for his life.
Yeah. Even the most hated Olympian from America, Noah, got him a gold.
Come on.
And niggas still hate Noah. Yeah. I still don't like that nigga. But shout out to Noah for getting him a gold medal.
I like him.
Okay. Tell me why. I knew you would. Noah's the type of nigga you would like.
It's funny because they told me the same thing, but nah. I like Noah just because I feel like I would never knock somebody for being cocky and confident, and they're good. Now, I can see why people don't. Like, I can see how he rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
I can acknowledge that as well. I think when you look at it from a blackish scale, he doesn't fit the regular cool black. He comes off as kind of nerdy and stuff like that. So I can see how he gets slight just because of his personality. He can be annoying and obnoxious. But, you know, I'm the type of person that, hey, I accept you for who you are. I keep rolling. But now it was weird, him in the Anthony Edwards statement.
Yeah.
That I was like.
Super weird.
Because everybody love Ant-Man.
Yeah, man.
Everybody love. He like that fun cousin.
He like your little wild ass little brother, little cousin, man. This nigga ain't going with this bullshit. You know what I mean? And my thing with Noah, man, honestly, because I do respect cockiness and confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I really do, right? Like, I blur those lines and I'm cool with either way. Where I really start questioning things, though, is when, like, for me, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
You got to win, right? And I don't care how unrealistic it is, got to win, right? You win the 100 meters, salute, the 200 is your event, you better dominate. You're talking too much.
Yeah.
Right? And now that's how I was raised. Yo, if you're going to talk, but bitch, you better win.
Yeah.
And you coming in third place, and now you got COVID, they got to wheel your ass out. Like, all right, my nigga, like, come on, cuz. Like, for real. Like, that's when I started, like, see, this nigga.
Yeah.
He goofy. You know what I mean? So that's my only thing.
So you don't think he had COVID?
No. Hell no.
You don't think so?
Fuck no. You had COVID before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Enough said.
It's different variants though.
Fuck out of here. Yeah, some it's a variant, all right, nigga. Shit didn't happen. Bitch ain't had no damn COVID.
You know, God's a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm. He's a way maker.
Light and darkness. Mm-hmm. But all right.
Dial fan Omega.
Hey, I really enjoyed, I think because of everything she endured just getting to the Olympics, Sha'Carri.
Yeah. I love Sha'Carri.
I love, even though I had much more respect for her after the fact about her, you know, how she had to walk an hour and she was not allowed to warm up. And then even if you go back and you look at the footage from that race, like when she gets on it, like you can just look at her and tell she felt kind of defeated before she even got into it. Mm-hmm. So walking away with silver after all that, hey, nobody knocking you. But in that relay.
Oh.
It like I just feel like I wanted her to win her race that mm-hmm. she got silver in anyway, but I think everything you look at, she got from the disqualification, all that BS, mm-hmm. then she gets here, then it's she almost damn near doesn't get the race, and then it's the last race that you get to. I just felt like she exploded at the end. Like when she was screaming, I just was like, that's it.
Oh yeah.
She lit now.
She felt that shit.
In the rain.
And see, and I like the look back. Yeah. I like her running like, bitch.
Yeah, some people's like, that's a man.
And I love that. But that's the shit I like. Right? Like she running, she looking like, you fucking bitches. Like, like fuck y'all thought. Cause see, the thing with Sha'Carri
with your ugly hair.
Yeah. Cause see the shit with Sha'Carri, man, that made it fucked up. So she had to do the walk and the Jamaicans pulled out.
Yeah.
Cause they did the same thing to them. Yeah, she saw the footage of them talking to them. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
But that, because basically what they did was, for those who don't know what happened, there's a gate that apparently they've been coming through the entire time. And a rule got switched the day before by somebody that basically said if you weren't staying in Olympic Village and you were getting dropped off, not on which the team
they
said bus,
the,
well, yeah, on the private
bus. They said the
bus.
Beds felt like cardboard.
Exactly.
The air.
Yeah, no professional athlete in America is living in Olympic Village. That's not a real thing. Like, that's where the other, I don't want to sign away, but that's where those other countries, they'll do it. But a lot of them, that's, you know, the Olympics give you that spot to live in.
Yeah.
No, nigga, you think LeBron staying in the fucking Olympic Village? Are you crazy? No, him and Savannah. You got Savannah bunked over a balcony in Paris, nigga, looking at Eiffel Tower, going crazy.
Making sure like, they make it on time.
Yeah, for sure. So they had to walk about, was what, a mile or two? Around to get, so they didn't have any time to warm up, anything like that. And that's why Jamaicans pulled out. They said, we ain't going to do it. Shout out to Sha'Carri for still going through with it. Silver medal. It's still a big accomplishment, you know.
Huge accomplishment. I didn't realize how young she was too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When she first
since she graduated high school in 2018.
Yeah, she was at LSU when she the first time around. She was in LSU. She was like a freshman, sophomore at LSU. That's when I first saw her run. At LSU because I remember she had the nails and the hair, and it was a lot like FloJo.
Yeah,
and I was like, who the fuck is this? And she was winning, so she hard. So then she started doing Olympic trials and all that shit, and became one of the fastest women in the world. But yeah, she's young as hell. She got at least, I'd say at least two Olympics.
That's how I say. I'd say probably two.
Maybe three.
She starts stretching now.
Yeah, exactly. She's 22. Yeah, so 26, 30. 30 might be a swan song. 34, she might pull something out. But it's probably going to be another little fast bitch pop up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going to take out.
Build a new one.
Yeah. Cool. We'll build a new one by that point. You're talking another one. And that's the other thing about the Olympics too, man. It's like when you watch these people who dominate the Olympics for so long, like what Simone's doing. And didn't realize the Olympics are every 4 years.
And they came in extremely young.
Yeah, like, so you're talking about, like,
Simone was, what, 19 when she had her going crazy?
She was 19, you know, Kevin Durant with team with the basketball. Like, this is his fourth gold medal. Like, you're talking 16 years worth of Olympic basketball. You know, it's not easy. Speaking of Sha'Carri, and I said the basketball, one of my favorite things about watching, especially the men's basketball, was just seeing the black niggas on, not black niggas, the black people on the sideline.
Yeah.
Seeing Carmelo.
Carmelo, I was about to say Melo.
Next to Melo, next to Sha'Carri, next to Quavo, next to all these. They just lined
everybody
up.
Everybody just lined up. Like we here.
Bro, they dapping Scottie Pippen randomly in a cut. Like, it's that shit was lit. Like, bro, y'all really don't went there. Literally, y'all everything Jay-Z and Kanye was singing about, right? Like, y'all truthfully is niggas in Paris. And this shit is wrong.
Niggas in Paris.
Like, they dapping niggas up. Like, this
shit
hard.
That was just a beautiful sight to see, though.
Yeah, man. Like,
beautiful moment for the culture.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Shout out to that. So, L.A., man, we going? What's up? 2028. Got 4 years. I done signed up for the newsletters.
You signed up?
I signed up for the newsletters.
Okay, I'll let you know 2026. Mm-hmm. I'm going to L.A. for the first time in October, so I'll let you know. Okay. Everyone complains about L.A. traffic already.
It's horrible. It's piss poor.
They say it's the worst traffic. So, they're like, bro, for the Olympics is going to be.
It's going to be god.
But I feel like it'll, I mean, it'll be like adult spring break.
Oh, for sure.
Adult spring break.
The Olympics is going, the Olympics in LA are going to be insane. It still breaks my heart that I wasn't old enough.
For Atlanta?
Oh, my God.
Atlanta.
Can you imagine Atlanta?
If they did it now.
Do you see the Freaknik doc?
I didn't finish it.
So
a
you
lot
see
of people were disappointed.
Really?
I think because they wanted to see
more ads.
I guess.
Yeah. Because honestly, I watched it. I think
how it was promoted. I feel like I fell asleep on a lot of stuff. But I enjoy what I, but I enjoy.
That's what you
I,
have.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I get on jet. But I did enjoy it though.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did enjoy it. So
yeah, from what I saw, it was I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. I thought it was realistic. I mean, it went back to the roots of where it actually started and what the actual meaning of it was and where it really came from. And
yeah, I thought that was dope. Then it's, yeah. I thought it was dope, then I also thought it was sad because of what they started it off as was extremely positive.
Which is typical for, now I don't say typical, but that seems to be
a, we can speak for our misery.
It seems to be a trend, right? Like things start off well, then turn into, which is not just.
So who do you think turns it? Do you think it's a different caliber of people?
I think it's when the next generation, whoever that may be, gets a part of it. And they don't understand the history. It's almost like when
values.
They say, yeah, it's almost like when they talk about, like, if you don't know your history, like, you're back, you know, if you don't know where you came from, you never know where you're going. It's really that type of shit. That's what that looks like, right?
Yeah.
Like, once you get another group that comes in.
And who they don't want to do things that way because they feel like that's. Because
they didn't care about that.
Doesn't make sense. Or,
yeah. Because they didn't care about that part. They don't care about it was a togetherness type deal. Like, we all out of town, living in the city in college, we don't know nobody but each other. Let's just have a party because we can't afford to go home for spring break. We'll have our own spring break here. Well, then it turns into, oh, shit, know them hoes there. And, you know, now people are pulling up for that. Mm-hmm. And that's when it kind of shifts and the message gets lost. And it's not, the good time is a good time, but it's a different type of good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's the biggest part of it. You know what I mean? That's where the shift kind of took place. Because, again, it was that. Then, obviously, you had the city of Atlanta. You know what I mean? With the Olympics coming, that's why I brought it up. Because they talked about the Olympics and how they really wanted to crack down on that.
Yeah.
And with the timing of Freaknik and the timing of the Olympics and we know what's what, they're trying to clean shit up. So when the Olympics get there, which is documented, any city the Olympics in, typically the city suffers after. During and after, they suffer because of all the things that get poured into the city, because of the straining of resources of the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's like what nigga said earlier last year about not going to Hawaii, right? Because everybody's taking vacations and they're stretching the resources there. Same concept.
Okay.
It's not built for that. So I think that's honestly what turned it. You know what I mean? But, you know, the culture is the culture. You know what I mean? And for better or for worse, I think that, and I talk about it a lot with you, like, you know, that whole, 400-year gap thing, and how we're just so behind, and now it's so much worse, and looks so much worse because we have so much access to shit, and our attention spans are so...
And censor, I can't fucking talk tonight, but but censorship has also changed as well, because you have to think about it. We can speak on Freaknik from what it began as and what it grew to what it is today versus, I mean, we can compare that to anything. You got to think about when we were growing up, what was allowed to be on TV.
Yeah.
I saw an article where they stated that Ciara's ride video, which I don't even think she was like bucket naked or anything. She just is in there doing a lot of little gyrating.
Mm-hmm. She was grinding
a whole lot of love. But that was banned from BET.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the fuck we're watching these days.
We got up at 3 a.m. on Sunday mornings to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's normal
it's
for
normal
television
now,
right? And, you know, and actually it's funny, me and Pete talked about this the other day, and we were talking about how basically there's no, like, foundation or guidance or structure on anything. Like, people really just doing whatever.
Because
like,
if you're on BET Plus, they bucket naked.
Yeah, exactly.
They're showing little coochies.
Yeah, you can't get on Twitter without seeing, and obviously we enjoy the Twitter porn. But it's still kind of offsetting sometimes, off-putting sometimes, where you can't even scroll your timeline without, you know what I mean?
In public.
In public, without seeing some, you know, some ass being...
Can't
you know
church.
What I'm saying? Yeah, you
I did that in church when that's old.
God. What the hell? Don't let your sound be on. Unless you've been watching the video. Yo, so years ago, right? I mean, I never
story
forget.
Time.
Yeah, story time. I remember I'm riding in the car. Well, I went and picked a little chick I was fucking at the time up, right? And hooked my Bluetooth up to the car. I've been watching Twitter porn. Oh. Right. And I wasn't even doing that. And it just, you know, it was on my timeline. Yeah. I just watched this shit look lit. I'm going to bookmark it, save it for later. Well, notes. I forgot. So get in the car. First thing my Bluetooth and clicks on to.
It's the first, last thing you play.
Exactly.
So somebody can
daddy,
clap.
Daddy, daddy. Oh my God. Like, what the fuck? She looked at me like,
clap, clap. Yeah,
she looked at me like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Freaky,
but I think,
yeah, freaky ass boy.
Freaky ass boy. She's not God for real.
Look like Kanye West. Yeah, they say Kanye West had a problem like that.
I saw that. I could believe it. Kanye a nasty nigga though.
There was an interview that Kenya Moore said she wanted a date with him, and he like had her waiting like 45 minutes to out from just getting dressed. And when she did walk, like, to see where he was in the house, he was just in there chilling, watching porn on TV.
I believe it. Do you see the whole thing with the assistant that said that he would ask her, like, that said he was racist and because he wanted to beat her with his black dick or some shit? That was the whole thing. Like, she sued that nigga and all about that shit.
Damn.
Like, a little settlement. Like, he was wilding. Kanye, nasty nigga. Most of the niggas be nasty. Most of the famous niggas be nasty as well.
They get bored.
Yeah, that's it. Because you do so much. Yeah. You do so much so quick.
Access is what we're talking about.
You get access to that many hoes and that much coochie that's willing to do whatever. So now you got upgraded.
Now you're at the Diddy party with the big bed.
Mm-hmm. You are the Diddy party. You thought Diddy was nasty.
Did you see that bed they said they had at the party?
Mm-hmm. I saw. Look, Diddy was a different level of freak. But they've been doing that shit since the 90s. That's it. You seen they said that Biggie might have been bisexual?
He had a very questionable line that kind of always.
Tell me, he said, "You look so good, I suck in you."
That, then
he got a few of them.
But it was something else. I think he's going to get his big ass ate or something.
Yeah, he did talk about that. There's a train of thought that Biggie and Pop might have been bisexual. And if that's the case, then their beef takes a whole nother meaning for me. Like, them niggas was bi and beefing. So now y'all boys' love was crossed. All right, that's it. I'm just saying, if that's the thing, if that makes, that's what the beef is about, that's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Yo, that shit gets completely.
What bitch?
Mm-hmm. Who? Oh, it wasn't Faith. Faith said she ain't fuck Pop. She said it wasn't her. All right, nigga done fuck Jermaine.
All right, next up, we can go ahead and pivot from this. The itinerary is all over the place, but this is what makes the pod fun.
Love
hey,
it.
How do you feel about pet funerals?
Wow, okay, that's random. That's a random segue.
So there was a clip on Facebook where this this boy, he had to be about eight. Mm-hmm. I give him like between 6 to 8
mm-hmm.
years old. His bird died, and they had a whole little funeral for him and the bird. It was in the front yard. They had a big tent. They had the bird in a box, and they had like some Gucci fabric around it. They looked like they were Haitian, or like dress. It looked like
makes
Haitian
sense.
Or Jamaican something.
Makes sense.
But mama was walking the boy to the bird, like picked him up to see it. And when she picked him up, as he touched it, he just broke down crying.
Oh.
But then, like, his cousins was in the background laughing.
I'd have been dying.
Like, they weren't dying, but, you know, he was like really hurt.
I'd have lost it.
And they had rest in peace shirts with the bird on it.
Oh, yeah, a little squawky.
And then when the mom sat down with him, it was just like the funeral. Like, he was like bawling.
Oh.
And they was like fanning him and everything. But I've been seeing where people have like pet funerals.
First of all, finding a dead bird is probably funny as hell. Like, I'll probably have lost it. Like, you know, they be sitting up on their little perch. So you find a boy just laid out on the ground.
Just laid to the side.
Laid out. Oh, Lord. Squawk. Yep. It's a little squawk. But pet funerals, they say there's nothing black women love than their dogs. So I'm assuming pet funerals are definitely a thing. You know what
now,
I mean?
I feel like it's becoming more of a thing now just because how unserious we are.
Yeah, we are. Something about COVID really made us not care about nothing.
Yeah.
We don't care. Like, once we got out of COVID.
Because like, even I was thinking, like, we would never get a pet. But if we were to get a pet and a pet would pass, I think I would want a proper funeral.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
What would you do?
What would be your first phone call? Who you call? Kevin?
Well, you know, Ebony uncle is Kevin Ball, so we can call him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Just ask them if they do that.
They got open it?
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
If not, we just take them to the vet.
You'll do
whatever.
Church?
No, not necessarily the church, but I'll probably do like a little nice place, if not the backyard. Or we even do it in the garage and just have the repass at the house.
Okay.
Do a nice little setup for the dog.
But you say you don't want food at your funeral, so why the fuck are you going to have food at?
It's not about me.
Oh, okay. It's about him. Fair. Unselfish.
Yeah. Okay, you got to be unselfish with that. But yeah, I would most definitely want a proper, after seeing all this about the pet funerals, and then I got on TikTok and saw the other pet funeral stuff, if anyone's pet dies, mm-hmm. I'm sending a flower.
That's real. That's real.
I think we should send a flower.
Yeah, a little something.
It's a serious thing.
And you could do like a little obituary. Remember you made a little fake obituary for us to get out mm-hmm. of work?
Sure did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had like two or three sample obituaries.
Yep. Kill our uncle was the same nigga on that shit too. The same nigga on that shit too. That's wild. Yo, we really lived a hell of life. That's funny as hell. Ma would get us out of work. You hear me? If we had something going on, man, I don't know how to get off. Oh, hey, yes, you can.
We had
yes, you can.
Fake obituaries with some man we found on Google.
I don't know who that nigga is.
But whenever someone, and how the copy was made in Photoshop, it was like you had copied, scanned a funeral program. Mm. So it was like, here you go.
Yep.
I don't know who Buddy was, but shout out to you because you really got us out of work.
He was really dead. Once I found out he was actually was dead, yeah. I was cool.
I just don't really know who it was.
Because he living on. He living on through us. But yeah, nah, that might have been the funniest shit. That's not new. I said, nah, this my tribe here. this is some silly shit that I would do. My friends just wouldn't think to do it. My friends would just not go to work that day.
Yeah, but now like, we gonna cover it up.
Yeah.
Excuse absence. We also
we getting paid. We getting bereavement.
We also, I remember in college, shout out to Jasmine. Jasmine was the if you want to get out of work, she'll call your job being hysterical.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She did that for me at Best Buy and at American Eagle to get me out of work. So you have to be resourceful.
Yeah.
With your friends and make sure the people that you have around you, they add some sort of value. You know, it could be monetary, motivational, inspirational, or they could just get you out of work.
Yeah, nah, that's real. That's real.
And keep it as excuse absence. So
that's all you need, man. Speaking of excuses, man, and absences, so need to be absent, in my opinion, but we'll get to that. Michael Rubin had some comments. Did we catch them? Did we catch the?
I did.
Okay.
I did because I'm you know, I'm learning from you in part, so I'm a big researcher.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a big researcher. For those who didn't catch it, I have a clip. Well, because I also do my research. These professional podcasters, man.
Meaningful to me, but it would be really meaningful to them because I want them to do great. I want everyone around me to do great. Mm-hmm. I don't like watching, you know, there's a little bit, and you tell me, you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think there's a little bit of a black culture of like, it's black hate on hate. It's like that black judge that Meek had that hated on him and wanted to put in, go extra hard on him. Okay, it's like, it's what people always say to me. It's like black hate on hate. So I think it's terrible. I think it's something that I think it's culturally wrong. And I'll probably get killed for saying this because, you know, here, you know,
I'm glad you're saying it openly. If this is the conversations that are being
had, I have it all the time.
I want to hear this.
Yeah. So I think it's wrong. I think like, why do you not want to build everyone up around you? Why do you not want everyone around you to do great? The best way for everyone to do great is to push each other up.
All right. So that was Michael Rubin. Yeah. Michael Rubin had some comments or did an interview on The Breakfast Club, kind of speaking about black culture and, you know, what he feels like is an issue that ails us. For those who know, he's a CEO of Fanatics.
Yeah.
For those who may not know who Michael Rubin is, also does a really big, few different parties, but one big party is the all-white party.
Yeah.
Every
year. He owns another business too, right?
Yes, yeah, outside of
Fanatics.
Yeah,
okay, I think Fanatics just as big
as that, but that's what he made his money and everything else was. Yeah, man. So, how do you feel about what he said, man?
When I listened to the clip a couple of times so I could dissect it. Mm-hmm. Couple of different ways. First thing I would say is the overall statement, I don't think he's wrong.
Okay.
I will say that. I don't think he's wrong. I think it's right message, wrong messenger type thing. However, in the same instance, with it being a Breakfast Club and watching the whole interview and what they talked about, he knew he was going to get backlash from it after he was saying it, but mm-hmm. I can really see the concern and sincerity versus him being somebody just saying, why y'all niggas always doing X, Y, Z and rah, rah, rah. So I felt like it was a situation where he felt like since Charlamagne and Envy were like, you know, like, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. He felt the comfort in the room to explain itself, but I also, you know, kind of feeling like there's going to be somewhat backlash from it.
Yeah.
So as we all know, the only thing I did not agree with was the black on black crime.
Yep.
We are, everybody kills each other.
Right.
However, we do live in a modern day society where our killings, I feel like, are marketed more.
Right.
When it comes to mainstream media, your local news, things of that nature, I feel like we see more of that.
And not to cut you off, he didn't actually say crime. He said black on black hate.
Yeah, black on black hate.
He said hate, and that's true.
Right? And you know what? I'm happy you clarified that because I watched it a couple of times because everybody was talking about black on black crime.
Yeah.
And I was like, even right here, he said black culture and the hate on hate.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I heard black hate. I didn't hear black on black crime. Yeah. But you know, nobody wants to research.
Yeah. And
they
And so it's like, because I saw a lot of that too. I saw a lot of, you know, right message, wrong messenger. Mm-hmm. And I saw somebody, and somebody posted this thing, and it was like, well, Dr. Umar said it. Y'all don't want to hear him.
Yeah.
Somebody else, he said it. Y'all didn't want to hear him. Who's the right messenger? Like, who do y'all want to hear this from?
Because as a culture, I feel like we've become very reactive.
We are.
And not very, proactive, but once somebody says something that we feel like, you know, it's kind of like if we're saying stuff among friends and somebody from the outside is like, hold on, we can say that. You can't say that.
Right.
But if they're pointing out a valid point, then when are we going to do something about it?
And as a culture that has so many opinions on other cultures, mm-hmm. why do we get so up in arms when people talk about ours?
Yeah.
Right. We talk about Hispanic culture. Mm-hmm. We talk about Indian culture. We talk about white culture. Everybody. We have all these opinions on what everybody else does.
We got a lot of jokes about it. Yeah.
Well, we got jokes on everybody. And we delve into everybody else's culture.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo, we outside. Yeah. Right. Like it's our, you know Saint what Patrick's I mean? Day. Like St. Patrick's Day, we outside. Right. Like we want to dive into everybody's culture, but then we want to, whoa, don't talk about us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It took me a minute. I had to really listen to what he was saying as well. And I knew, one, I salute what he said because he knew saying that was going to get him backlash.
Yeah.
He embraced that. But I felt,
you can tell that he was speaking from the stance of me being his friend.
Yeah.
And what he's seeing his friends go through, which Absolutely. That's a real friend. And, yeah. and we cannot be the same race. But if I see what you're enduring, I just think it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I may speak out on it as well. So that's why I wasn't really, you know, torn down by that. But he did, he made some really good points.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did see was, it was he said bringing people down, hating on his friend, and with the black culture and the hate on hate. I also saw that as the crab in the barrel mentality, because we always speak on that. So that's just like you said, it's like, cool, we're mad about this, but we say the same exact thing, but we didn't really know how to address and to go after.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my biggest thing, and just watching his like and just listening to what he was saying, because he was absolutely correct. We have a lot of that. We definitely look to tear each other down at the first case. And for me, I look at it, when you speak about black on black crime, I look at it honestly as the same type of dynamic, though. Like, I look at it like we say black on black crime, but obviously if you just look at the stats, statistics and everything, of course more black people will kill black people because we're always together. The same way more whites kill whites and more. So black on black crime is a myth. That's something they put out there to make a headline, but it's not a real deal thing. Like, if you look at every culture,
everyone
every
kills
race,
their people.
They kill their own people because you're going to be around your people more.
Most of the time.
Just geographically. Like, if you go to certain neighborhoods, it's black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Right? Some mix, but still black neighborhoods, gonna be a white neighborhood, it's gonna be a Hispanic neighborhood, gonna be Indian neighborhood. Like, that's just how things go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how things are always going to be. So of course, if I'm constantly around black people,
come on,
in a scenario presents itself of conflict, it's probably gonna be a black person. And if someone's gonna get killed, it's probably gonna be a black person.
Yeah.
Because we're black. And we live with other black people. We interact with more blacks than anything. But you know, for me, it's tough because, again, we have all these opinions on so many things. I feel like we're very hypersensitive on a lot of things. And it's a lot of scenarios and situations where we got so much to say and just cannot take it when someone has something
to
say.
So little
back.
To do.
Yeah.
Or at times, the stuff that we do comes off as performative.
Yeah, that too.
Because
inauthentic, for sure.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
Like, a lot of it. So it's like, cool.
We have a lot
you,
of that.
But you know it's not going to last long.
Yeah, we have a lot of that. A lot of flash in the pan shit. And the other part is the truth hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts to hear someone tell you, you know what I mean, nigga, you fat.
Yeah.
And you look at yourself and you know you are, right?
Yeah.
And you can know you fat, but somebody say it to you, like, damn, don't fuck you, nigga. But you know you fat, nigga. She just said the truth. He just told you that you were, nigga.
Well, like, something else that I did enjoy about the interview is that the Breakfast Club flipped it. And they was like, oh, well, you know, in the Jewish community, do you not feel like it's like this or like that? And one of the things that he did say was, you know, even with speaking about Meek, he's speaking about proximity to him,
mm-hmm.
what's around him. And he was just like, you know, with his, the Jewish people that he's, you know, friends with, they don't deal with a lot of that. And he was speaking on Meek because Meek is his friend, and he just seen all the backlash and everything that he's been doing when Meek hasn't been doing anything negative to receive any of that.
Yeah.
And then he also commented, and he also commented from watching the rest of the interview, and he told Charlamagne that he gets a lot of backlash because people feel that he does more for black communities and other communities than he does for his own. And he said, you know, he just feels like, you know, wherever he feels the need to want to give back and, you know, authentically be himself and help, he's going to do that. But just because he's Jewish doesn't mean all of his ties. And he gets a lot of slack from his own community for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. So for me, I don't know. I think that his comments, I can see what people could feel away, but
I wasn't tripping.
Yeah, I would feel more of a way if they were unfounded, unbased, and untrue.
Yeah.
He's speaking truth, right? You know what I mean? Like, we do it all. We talk about what white people do all the time. And I always ask, how do you know this? Like, who are you around? Like, what white people have you talked to?
Something I think is funny, I think a lot of blacks, I hate saying blacks, it sounds such silvery.
Yeah.
A lot of our people.
Yeah.
Using white people as an example is such a double-sided sword because you can use their race as an example, and sometimes you'll hear, I mean, who made them superior XYZ? Yeah. But then in the same instance,
who made them the bar?
They'll be used as the bar in the same sentence. So it's like, it's weird.
And the thing about it too is, it's like you said, it's a double-edged sword.
Convenient.
Because yeah, it's convenient, but the other part of it too is, it's not unrealistic because when you kind of look at what white people are, they're a culture that has a foundation, has a base, has a, you know what I mean? Yeah. So while I'm not saying that we should try to appeal to whites, I also understand why you can say, okay, well, I can see where this is the bar because they have a foundation of a way in a hierarchy. I mean, I never forget, I had Tip on a podcast. And she was talking about, like, patriarchy, and she was talking about, like, black people. And she was talking about these systems that men create. And I raised my, I said, whoa. When have black men ever been allowed to create a system?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't create that shit. That ain't got nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Like, if you subscribe or we subscribe to it, that's different. But you can't blame us for a system of patriarchy that we never created.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't nothing new. We got nothing to do with that. Like, black men didn't create, you know what I mean, lives of, you know, black of women staying home, no rights, have nothing to say.
That wasn't
we
us.
Didn't do that.
We was like, fighting for our own shit.
Yeah, exactly. We were trying to get right. And then when you go into these countries, you know what I mean, these African countries, a lot of them, you see black women working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not be doing what the black men are doing, but they're also working, right? Like everybody's doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? They're not just stay at home, do what I say type women, right?
Yeah.
They have opinions. You look at it, a lot of times the matriarch of the family is one of the loudest voice, being a grandmother. That's black culture. You know what I mean? So that's not subscribing to patriarchy, because if it was that, the grandma, if you look at a lot of times, again, I just talked about white people, but if you look at white grandmothers, a lot of times you may not see them have the voice.
I was going to say, now that I think about it, the white grandmas that I do, it's just like, this is the,
You don't see the reverence that
this is not, mom.
Now you love grandma, obviously, but the reverence you hold your grandmother to, as opposed to theirs, is a little different, right? Like, they love the grandmothers, of course, but again, it's just a different
the power
structure. Is a little
different. But then also with that, that can be a positive and a negative, because you will have conversations with people, or you know, I can say hell, I've seen it in my family to an extent where grandma isn't always right, but you can't say nothing because it's grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So grandma wrong as hell.
Yeah.
The action she's doing is wrong, but it's so much of, but that's how she is. Mm-hmm. And X, Y, Z, which, nah.
Yeah.
Which I think flies, and it's us becoming adults, having a conversation with our parents, having disagreement with our parents. And I can, you know, me and my mom, great relationship now, but sometimes we be on the love and war path. But with that, I realized with my mom that some of her thinking is how her parents were. It's like, oh, well, even if this is it, I can't be wrong, and y'all not going to treat me like this if I'm wrong. Like, if I'm wrong, it's just, okay, I'm wrong, but I'm still your mom type thing. Which that's something that's passed down from a lot of generations. And I remember seeing a tweet about it on Twitter. And just a lot of people were talking about that, because our generation has all of these resources to do all of this stuff. And we realized, you know what? This is kind of emotional abuse.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, right? Honestly, because this kind of leads to something else. I actually meant to put on a list that it led to a long conversation me and P had, right? And we were talking about, apparently there's a post of, and I didn't see it. She was telling me about it. where there's a girl singing NBA Youngboy lyrics with her son, right?
Okay.
And maybe a few days or weeks later, her car got shot up and they both died.
Huh?
Right, yeah, it was a whole thing, right? And people were talking about the video of her singing the lyrics, almost kind of blaming it, saying this is what you're passing on to your kids. And they were saying that she was up.
What color were they?
Oh, they're black.
Okay.
That's what race they're in. They're black. we ain't got to play the game. But nah, so basically the conversation was being had about what do you expose your children to, right? Like, what do you, mm-hmm. what you know what I mean? Are we exposing our children to certain things, lifestyles, seeing certain shit that are essentially going to be harmful to them in the long run? Like, yeah. I know for me, and I use me as an example, we talked about it, and I said, well, I know for sure one of the first albums my brother purchased with his own money was Nelly's Country Grammar album, right? So yeah. I was 11. So at this point, I'm 11, he like 13. And I distinctly remember my mom telling him, you can listen to it, but don't let your brother in there with you when you're playing it. She didn't want me to hear that shit. It felt like yeah. I was too young to hear that kind of shit, right? So I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to hear it. I know the words. I know all the words of fucking E.I. Yeah. and shit.
We had A to Z lyrics.
Yeah. Then. You know what I'm saying? I know the songs. We always singing them in school. We remixing them.
Because you were a sucker for cornrows.
Oh, nigga. And manicured toes. I didn't even know
white, don't you like the white toe?
Yeah.
The white toe thing?
Well, manicured toes for sure. I love white toes.
Little French tip?
Listen, I started sucking toes about 5 years ago. Never stopped since. I'm going to put that toe in my mouth.
I think I stuck. Like a neck bone.
I go crazy on them. So give me them feet, girl. Especially in never mind.
I just gotta be really in the mood to
But
anyway, we can get back to that.
Yeah, I ain't sucking toes nightly, but when I'm there, oh baby. Come here. Get that foot, man. Come here, man.
Need a little foot massage.
Ooh, then you win the toke. All right, don't worry.
A little pacify you.
Yeah. But listen, but yeah, all just aside, man, when you really look at it, it's like we had a foundation of things, right? And when you heard stay in a child's place, it wasn't a derogatory thing. It was just you're not ready for that yet, right? That. It's like sex. Like I never forget my pop's homeboys and my uncles would tell me, you know what I mean, take your time having sex. And it was never even based in some shit like, yo, you're going to get somebody pregnant.
Yeah.
It was never that. They used to tell me, because once you start, you can't stop.
Once you get that first peach.
Once you get that first little piece of that nanny, mm-hmm. nigga is up with you, right? And like, I was like, no, I don't care. I want some. But it went until I got it. And I was like, yeah. I see exactly what you're talking about. Because you really can't stop, right? It unlocks a new level of you.
Yeah.
All the side that you weren't prepared for. And it's something else you pursue. And I could see why they would want a 17, 16, 15, 14-year-old kid to not want that to be a part of their life.
That's
not
how people get turned out.
Exactly, right?
Start and that's, a little too early.
Yeah, you start, you know, you 14, 13, 12, got your first little piece of that. Now, your focus can't be on schoolwork or development or all the things that you would want a 12-year-old to have in their mind, right? You want that innocence. Like literally are losing that innocence that you have. And it's not until you become an adult that you realize how important it is to keep that.
Yeah.
Because once you get into this real world, shit gets real and nothing's ever the same, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there's some validity.
There we go.
Can't talk. Sound it out. Work it out, baby. Work it out. But there is some of that to it, because when you really think about it, like, kids are growing up really, really quick. Kids are losing childhoods. And what we always used to see growing up was we see these child actors and say, oh, they grew up so fast. They never had a real childhood, right?
Yeah.
And these are child actors, millionaires, successful child actors. Well, these are regular kids now. They don't even have the luxuries and amenities that the child actors we grew up, the Macaulay Culkins and
because they were just acting and doing this. Now
that's it.
Now
yeah.
they're acting, they're influencing. They have a whole lot of other stuff. They have the internet. They got social media. They have this. So back then, we saw Raven Simone on the Cosby's and on the red carpet.
That was it. That's award the only show. Time we saw. Like when we see, and that's what I worry about, because I see the breakdowns that we see with a Raven when we see her kind of out the way in Orlando. You know what I mean? And even Britney Spears, and we see these breakdowns, and we think about, damn, like you was the shit.
Yeah.
At 14. You was a shit at 15, 16, or Raven at 7, 8, yeah. right? You was hurt. You know what I mean? Now, look what you're dealing with. And then we see these kids
do
now.
Do we have a lot of kid stars that are didn't? Like, who didn't outside of, like, Lizzie McGuire? She didn't really go through nothing crazy.
Who made it out?
Mm-hmm. Lizzie McGuire made it out. She didn't do nothing crazy.
Honestly, the ones that we saw that made it out are Keenan ones
and Kel.
No, because Kel Wilder.
He's a little freaky.
Yeah, Kel had a little thing, man. I think the main ones are the ones that are no longer really in the business.
Yeah.
Like the ones who got in, got their money and slid out.
Yeah.
Steve Urkel, you know what I mean? Yeah. Them type niggas. I think the only real kind of, even if we want to consider him a child actor, you know what I mean? Maybe a Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know, in the Fresh Prince, what he was doing.
Yeah, because he was still young. I mean, he wasn't like, he wasn't as young as a Raven began, but.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of them we see, because I mean, think about it, Eddie Winslow, he got his shit going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't see Laura Winslow anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She off in the cut somewhere. We don't see her often.
Yeah, Monica and Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy and Monica.
Yeah.
You know probably what I mean? Only one. Especially Brandy, because she was acting. You know what I mean? She's probably the only one, but a lot of times that tore a lot of people up, and a lot of it was not based in their success. It was based in their access, what they could see, what they could do. So to take it back to what we're talking about with the kids nowadays, now they may not have the resources or the money that they had and gained, but they have the access. They can see all the things, right? A lot of the shit, when you watch like that Nickelodeon doc, a lot of it was the things that they were able to see. They were too young to be seen.
But then I also feel like who they had around them played a huge part in that.
That too. Right? But it's so much easier. And a lot of it, honestly, to go back to when I talk about having sex, a lot of it is sexual, like sexual deviancy. Like a lot of it is sex based. Like they're introducing this world to you that you're not ready to grasp, that you're not ready to really kind of get a handle on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're being forced into it, and now you wildin'. Shit, bruh, the reason why our generation, me, you, so you're talking that 32 to, I would say 30, 30 to
35, 36
range. 37. You throw what we played at the beginning of the podcast on, some Luther, whatever, they know that shit word for word, right? That's what we were raised on, right? And it doesn't mean that music was so much better. It's just that because rap was rap when we were kids, and we heard a little bit of rap.
But you also had a lot of stuff of substance as well. That was made a big deal, because I don't want to diminish anyone that's out right now making music, but our parents were growing up listening to a lot of this.
They grew up listening to that. And even when you think about what rap was, even gangster rap, right? Like when we think about what Ice Cube said, he's like, no nigga, these are just our stories.
I was just we're talking about storytelling.
Like we're talking about what we went through. We're not living
they fantasizing.
This ain't no cosplay. Like this is the real of what we're doing, right? Like you see Boys in the Hood and he talking about like, nah, this is really what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What we got going on. I live this life for real. Snoop is probably the most famous rapper in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Snoop Dogg can go anywhere. You see him in the Olympics having a blast, right?
Time of his life.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and you think he was wilding in Paris? Wait till that shit come to LA. It's up with Unc Snoop, right? But the thing about it is, you know what I mean, with Snoop, with that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a situation where these niggas are just, again, they were rapping what they were going through. Like Snoop caught a murder charge and made a song called Murder Was the Case.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and talked about it in his music. This is real. We seen these young niggas now that have nothing to do. You a nigga like Tekashi 6ix9ine.
They coming out of suburbs.
Yeah. A little kid like Tekashi does all this shit, gets wrapped up and tells on everybody. Why? Because he was literally what Malibu's most wanted is.
He ain't like, made for this.
Yeah. He's not cut for that. But y'all took advantage of him and y'all put him in this situation. He did what a nigga in a situation that he ain't ready for going to do.
Snitch.
Yeah, he going to snitch. Like yeah, he ain't Woody now. He ain't Woody. Hey, Woody, my guy. And Woody said, hey, Yana, you said none of this shit can be used against me? And we shot that shit up. Me and my cousin shot that motherfucker up. Why? Because we ain't like that nigga. He said, let's ride. Shout out to Woody, man. Woody, the best part of that Young Thug case. But yeah, so that's the main thing for me is like, it's not that so... I do feel like, and actually it was funny because I was talking about my friends, right? And I was like, I can say all of my friends with kids, I can't think of any of my friends who have children,
yeah,
who children are disrespectful kids, whose children are just bad, you know what I mean, or just wilding out, right? Like when you around
starts at home.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that lets me know we ain't lost, because with my friends, I look at the way their kids are being raised and the way the kids talk and the way they talk to adults and the way they move around adults. Like, they understand.
And you, because these days, you can tell who the grown kids are.
Yeah.
And when you become a parent, that's always one of the biggest compliments. Mm-hmm. All of my kids' teachers have always told us, like, Landon is the nicest kid. Mm-hmm. He's the sweetest kid. Lennox is the nicest kid. Mm-hmm. Sweetest kid. So hearing that just lets you know. Because the one thing about parenting, everybody winging it.
Right.
You trying to figure it out day by day. But hearing that just lets you know that, A, your parents did a good job with the values they're placing in you. And then for us as parents, like, all right, cool. It's not a lost society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these kids are wilding.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Now. But sure. It's a good chunk. We could just speak for our peer group.
Yeah.
We could just keep all our kids together.
That's it.
All the time. And they could be the civilized.
That's why I'm like, man, let me go ahead and get me one out of the way. Y'all niggas kids getting old and mine gonna be on
babysitters already.
Yeah, yeah. They got babysitters. They gonna have examples to look towards. But yeah, I think that's the main thing. And I feel like there's a lot of different factors that come into play. But I think one of the biggest parts about it is just the situation where you got these kids who are literally lost. Have no real deal guidance, raised by rap, raised by the shit they see on TV. Don't realize the shit they see on TV is not real.
Yeah.
Right? Don't realize that this is not real life, and you're trying to follow somebody who's following somebody.
Yeah.
Who's following somebody.
So everybody's lost, essentially.
Yeah, everybody's lost.
Nobody really has a compass, because none of this is real for anybody.
And I think that's where a lot of people struggle when they live a life that's not their own, when they're inauthentic, when they're not being themselves, when they're just chasing what they see.
Yeah.
And not what they are. And I think that's where things get tough, man. So I don't know. I don't know what's next, you know what I mean, for us. I don't know. I don't have any solutions, because I ain't got no kids. You know what I mean? I will say to whoop their ass, but apparently you can't whoop ass no more. I don't know. I don't have any kids.
You know, the other day, I was so frustrated when I got home with my kids. I don't have bad kids, but it's just once you become a parent, when you've had a long week, things ain't going, you get home, kids bouncing off the wall.
Yeah.
Now I was trying to get them to do some things. I'm the parent that does not enjoy repeating himself a lot. Mm-hmm. And I sat both of my kids down and say, hey, I said, check this out. Daddy's had a very long day, and Daddy's trying to do his best to be the best parent for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's not working. So I feel we may need to change our approach.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking is, it's going to be belt to ass if y'all don't get it together. And Lennox was like, ooh, what did you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even in that moment, my kids know what words are bad words.
Yeah.
Like, and Landon was like, Daddy, you can't say that. Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so we're going to get it together, or it's going to be belt to ass.
Because I can show you better. I can tell you.
You know, so that's what I always tell people. For me personally, I feel like I'm a gentle-ish parent. You know, the blood still works. The old school way still works to an extent. Yeah. But you just got to find that balance.
Yeah. I'll never forget. There was a time you brought Landon. It was Christmas. We was at Alley House for breakfast.
Yeah.
And Landon was wilding out. And I was like, man, beat that nigga. And he was like... You can't just beat him for everything.
He was young. Landon was young. He was like two.
Landon was like two or three. He had every right to do what he was doing. I was dead wrong. Uncle Boo, yo, Landon, when you listen to this, your uncle's wrong, man. I apologize. I really set some shit off on you that you ain't deserve. But I was like, to whoop his ass. That was my answer to it. Just beat him.
Just beat his ass.
Yeah, beat his ass. My dad didn't meet him. They whooped my ass. Right. But then when I thought about it, my dad ain't beat me for every damn thing. I got my ass whooped.
I always say that I didn't get a lot of beatings. Now I know the beatings I did get. I remember them vividly, the beatings I did get, but I didn't get a lot of beatings as a kid.
And you know what's funny? And I don't know, certain therapists will tell you this is just trauma talk.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's trauma. I feel like it's just truth.
Yeah.
I can't think of an ass whooping I got I didn't deserve.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, when I look at what I did, now,
you did, and also who your parent is.
Yeah, if you look at what you did, you look at your parent, then you think about also, have y'all had that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never got an ass whooping for something that wouldn't talk to me about.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like
never
the first
time.
No, that was your 10th, nigga. I've been telling you. Didn't I, the ass whooping during the it was Didn't I tell you? It was always. Didn't I tell you this?
We you did it again.
Oh, so you playing with me?
You did it again.
Because I told you that shit. Remember? Remember we talked about it? Remember we had a conversation? So you don't understand words.
Because when you become a parent, all of those lines listen. I was fussing and I said, because I told you this, right? I told you this. So if I tell you behind up, I'm not in the wrong.
I'm not
because we talked about this.
I told you that. You remember? Do you remember?
Multiple times.
You remember? You remember? And see, I'm the type. And honestly, you say as a parent, I'm an uncle. And I tell my nieces, come here. Yesterday, we had a conversation. You remember the conversation? You don't? Okay, cool. We talked. Remember when you did this? And I said, if you do that again, I'm going to knock your little ass out. Remember something? Remember that? You do.
We talked about that, right?
Yeah, you remember that, right? You said, ooh, said a bad word. Remember? Mm-hmm. So if I do what I said I was going to do, then I'm wrong, right? But wait. But if I don't do what I said I was going to do,
now you pussy.
I'm a liar, right? Now I'm pussy. You think I'm pussy? And see, this is what I could talk to. I say to Carter, I'm pussy. You think I'm pussy? You think? And shout out to Carter. I love my nephew though, because he know, you know me. Shout all my older nephews. It's funny, man. Like all of them recognize me as Uncle Boob. But they also know Uncle Boob is crazy. So just
and that's good for them to know.
Yeah, because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Don't play with me. I'm not the uncle to play with. Right? I'm not the one to play with. First of all, for my sister kids, you only got two uncles. One you don't play with, the other one is whatever. But just don't play with that. Just remember. Right? Now, also, the one you don't play with is the one you can call whenever you need something. So understand this, right? Don't play on me because when you need me, you can call me. But because of that, don't play with me. It's a give and take, right?
Yeah.
So I do salute y'all because when I see the landscape, on one hand, I say, yo, man, I'm scared to have kids and put them around these other kids. But then I see what y'all are doing in the midst of that. And I say, nah.
And that's why I'm so big on, through Active Dad, that's why I'm so big on father community and just building community for kids, because the villages and things that we had growing up, we don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense for us to have.
No, we good.
Oh, okay, my bad. But yeah, so
I thought it was a thing. It was fucking creepy.
Got you. But no, it makes sense for us to now build our own communities, because for one, like just being honest, you have to really be cautious who your kids are around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you need to know what type of households they're coming from, because you, like we said earlier, these kids have access to so much stuff. So that's why I like building those communities, because it allows us to build our own villages and for our kids to know each other and to play around and be with each other. When was that? When we were home for the race, it was just so cool when Landon, Jay, Braxton, Lennox, Alden were together, and we were like, we're literally raising our kids together.
Right.
We're like, look, we are at Jasmine's house. She had took all the kids to go get, I think they walked around the neighborhood, ice cream, whatever, and played. And we're just like, we're grown, but that's what you have to instill these days, because it's not like the old days.
And that's what they remember, right? They get to be 10 years old, 10 years older, and like they remember that. Like your play cousins are the ones you grew up with that you remember y'all little kids.
Yeah.
That this is your uncle such and such. So like, I got a cousin now. I still call a nigga my cousin. That I just realized, shit, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, he wasn't really my cousin.
Oh, it don't matter. He a cousin now.
He my play cousin.
He be a cousin.
It was always Uncle Linda, my cousin Jamal. Right, who's at his games and all that shit. I'm my cousin.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we family. You know what I mean? So it is dope to see. For me, I can't wait to have a kid to put him a part of, you know, have a part of. Yeah. Right. That's why I salute the, you know, Meech having a little one on the way, enjoying this having one, so now I can put mine
there we go.
Up under the
own hand 3 years in there.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want mine's older brother and older sister to be Jordan and but it's whatever. It's cool. My little nigga.
Gotta start
them
up.
Yeah, my younger to hold their own, man. They know how pops get down, so they know what to listen to and not to. But yeah, man, so it just real, real crazy to watch. And when I heard about that story, I had a lot of thoughts and you know, it's literally kind of that old Michael Irvin, we're losing recipes type shit, right? Because it's like, damn, like, are we really? And the other side of it's like, damn, like, are we so or too far? How do we correct certain things that we're seeing happening, because it's so much access? You know what I mean? You can see so much shit.
Yeah.
You can, as a kid, you can make a Twitter and watch all the porn you want.
Watch all, because it's just going to say, right. Hey, answer a birthday.
Yeah.
It's like, birthday. You don't got a scan.
Any kid smart enough, okay, cool. I'm 20. I'm 18.
Can do it.
Yeah.
I look at that from, it's very important just to have and operate within a really good value system. Mm-hmm. And you have to start with your kids young, because once you can ingrain and instill those core values, no matter where your kids go, they're going to always fall back on those things. That's something my therapist always tells me. She's like, I don't know your grandma, but the value system that she placed on y'all family, y'all all operate, and it is hard for you to waver from it. Like, when that's all you know, that's all you know.
Yeah.
But I just think that just comes from, you know, your parents, you know, talking to you, some of the stuff that you do see. I always applaud. Me and Jamal were having a conversation, mm-hmm. and I always applaud Jamal's family structure, because they are the real life Huxtables.
Yeah.
But what I like what his family did is, Jamal knows no adult business
mm-hmm.
as a kid.
Yep.
And he was like, honestly, I don't know, you know, if my mom and her siblings have ever argued, mm-hmm. ever this, ever that. He was like, they keep adult business as adult business, and the kid's business, that's kid business. And I mm-hmm. think that's something that is commendable, because as an adult, I realized that I kind of knew a little too much shit mm-hmm. at a young age. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because I wasn't a child that inserted myself in adults' business. But as you grow older, you can look back on, like, and no shade to Pops, but I just give examples of stuff that happened. I remember me and my mom having like a really, really hard time, and like things just really tight. And I remember I was like, "Oh, mom, you should call my dad. He'll help out." She's like, "Okay, we'll just call him."
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I talked to people, and I'm like, "Oh, my mom, and that she always protected me from who my dad was until I became an adult." Not fucking mine. She was like, "All right, call here him. Go my cell phone. Call him and leave him a voicemail
mm-hmm.
and tell him to just call us back." And I was mm-hmm. like, "Well, I left him a voicemail. He'll call us back." She was like, "Yeah, he gonna call us."
Yeah. Wait on it, nigga.
So that shit kind of steers you, like, hey, at a young age, I'm like, "Hey, fuck you, bro."
Yeah. I'm wearing this already. Nigga, and it's funny, because for me, I was in the middle of that, right? Like, we were taught, and shout out to my cousin Corey, man. We had a conversation not too long ago about a situation going on in the family. And we both said, you know what I mean, despite the situation that's going on, we were taught to stay out of grown folk business.
Yeah.
That's grown folk business. We go hold our, and me and Corey, at number one, we're both Aries.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't.
Oh, you're a Zodiac guy?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm really not. But this is the only time me and him, because neither one of us are, but we bring it up because there's a whole thing about Aries kind of being high heads a little bit.
Yeah.
And we say that because we have that in common.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we both will fire off. You know what I mean? But we both have learned to contain the shit, dude. We don't really move like that. So for us, it's like, if me and him went to beefing, it could get bad.
Yeah.
Because we would just be one-upping each other.
Yeah.
Like, he'll do shit, I'll do, and like, now it gets dangerous, because niggas like, well, fuck it. Yeah. Nigga, like, it's whatever. Like, now we don't went from hands to this to that to so whatever. And now we don't care what to do or whatever, right? And it's a real scary thing to see. But Corey's had scenarios where he's blacked out and done shit. Now I've had scenarios where I blacked out and done shit. And after fact, you was like, damn, I'm so glad such here was here to stop me from essentially ruining my fucking life, right?
Yeah.
So, but we both had a conversation. Was like, man, look, long as you good, I'm good. Fuck it.
Yeah.
We grown. They grown. They say
exactly.
No matter how old we are, we ain't gonna never be as old as they are. No matter how grown we are, we ain't never gonna be as grown as them. So that being said, yo, let them rock how they rock. It is what it is. If they need us, cool. If they don't, cool. But we're not going to get in the middle of it. And we have not, and it's become a situation where we've been good, right? Because we know if we take the route they've taken, shit can go left quick, because unlike them, we'll actually do some shit.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing. It's not a badge of honor or a medal of honor to say or do, but it's a real life thing, right? So but I say that to say, I kind of grew up in the middle, right? I grew up in where I knew grown folks business, but I knew to stay out of it.
Same.
I ain't got nothing to say about it. Oh, y'all, whatever. And also the other part of it too is that I'm the youngest, but my family's older, right? So my granddaddy died when I was 8. I remember the arguments in that house when he died when I was 8, right?
Yeah.
Between my aunts and my grandma and everybody involved. I remember those conversations and arguments, right? So I know that, like, doing my own Viola, my granddad died, Viola's second husband, when Burnell died, right? There was no real arguments, but I remember what that looked like. And I was old. I was like 20 when he passed, right?
Yeah.
So then when my other girl, when Evelyn died, when I was 30, right? Like, I'm seeing certain things, and now I'm growing up the peep game.
Yeah.
And I know what's happening. Sense. I know what's going on. I know why you mad. I know why you mad. I mean, I agree with why you mad and you mad, but you're mad. Whatever. Cool. It gets you, y'all mama.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hell, me and Arma got super close after he passed because we realizing, damn, like, well, I'm realizing, like, I'm watching my mother lose her mother, and I'm like, damn, okay. Like, now, like, it shouldn't take that, but it almost did. We got super close after the fact.
Yeah.
Because my value in of course, I always loved my mother, but I put my mom on an even higher pedestal after the fact because I'm like, okay.
And you're honestly just empathizing because you're able to see, like, you know, she's lost.
Yeah.
Essentially her compass.
Exactly.
To life. And it's one of those things where it finds. That's how my great grandma, who was friends with your grandma, was when my great grandma died. My mom has never been the same since then, and it just shines a lot of light on you to realize, like, damn, like, this is these are the effects of life.
Yeah, it's a real thing, man. So it's a real thing to cope with and deal with, and you want to do your best to help. And that's honestly, like, again, I was turning 30 at the time, and I was 29, about to be 30 in a few months, and for me, I feel like that was a real big growth moment for me.
Yeah.
Because that was a time where I really put myself on a back burner because somebody else needed me a little more, right?
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're very selfish and you don't know how to do that. As an adult, you start learning to do that, right? Like, you know what? Let me be here for you and put myself to the side right now, right? I'll harbor my feelings. I'll deal with my shit because right now you need me a little more than I need me.
Yeah.
Right? And to be that unselfish and kind of do that, you know, me let you know, okay, you're growing. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, again, we knew to stay in our place. And I feel like people hear those things and say, well, a child should have rights. Yeah, no, they should. But a child should also be a child. They shouldn't be wearing certain things.
And
they shouldn't be dressing
and
a
certain
way.
And that's why they have parents.
Exactly,
that,
right?
That's why they have parents.
If a kid could do whatever the fuck they want to do, why do they need you?
Yeah, they don't need you.
Why do they need you? You're going to let them just wild out and make whatever decisions they want to make, right? Like, what's the point? I know for me, one of the things I always hated was my parents they allowed me to make a lot of decisions on my own.
Yeah.
Like, just go rock out. Now, if I fucked up, they were there for me.
Yeah.
But do what you think best. I don't know. I'm asking you. Figure it out. But also had to realize that I was also in a place in life that they may not have gotten to.
Yeah.
To understand.
So by that point, they're like, you know what? Yeah. You've gotten this. You got here quicker than we did.
Exactly.
We understand your thought process and your judgment. You go ahead and do what you have to do. If anything occurs, we're here for you.
And and you saying that made me think of the fact that they may even be looking at it like, damn, like, nigga, when I was 23, I wasn't doing what you did.
Yeah, I wasn't doing this shit.
I don't know what the fuck to tell you. At 23,
the shit
nigga,
you
I
doing
wild.
23, shit, I was,
You're
I ain't
better
doing
off,
that till 30.
You're better off than I was at 23, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you, to me, you got it figured out.
And I also, that's something that I struggle with at times, just, you know, living, like I always say, you know, after I pay my bills, I got enough to go get me a double cheeseburger and a McFlurry if I want to. I get you one too.
Ooh,
if I wanted to.
Money.
I ain't say all that. I'm just saying God's good. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I realized, hell, I think I lost my train of thought about, hell, what the hell are we talking about?
I was talking about how basically, parents, like, you being in a position that your parents weren't in at your age.
Yeah, but, yeah, so with that, the only downfall to that is I feel at times that when you're in a position at an earlier age than your parents, I feel like they're kind of unrelatable.
Yep.
And I struggle with that because sometimes there's things that I would want to talk to my parents about, but you have to factor in your parents' thought process. You know, our generation, once again, like we always say, we got all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
We're in therapy. So we think and we process things a whole lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I bring certain topics to my parents, I know how they're going to answer.
Yep. Yep.
It's going to be some Southern ass, this is this, this is that answer. And it's not. So, like, for me, I'm like, damn, that kind of sucks. Which, that's why I have to lean on my friends more. Because I'm like, well, we're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
So we can understand each other. But that is one of the differences that people don't realize when, just when you achieve things a little quicker than your parents. When you're just that first generation, whatever, in your family, when you're the first generation college grad, or, you know, working in corporate America and doing all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, once you climb that ladder and once you get success within life, it's kind of like, damn, who's going to really understand me family-wise?
Yeah.
Now, some people that I'm around, you know, they can talk to their parents about anything.
Yeah.
And their parents, they give a good logical answer. But
yeah,
you know how some of our old school parents are, they just say,
yeah,
So
and I've really learned to empathize and put myself in their situation, even as a child, right?
Like, yeah.
Maybe you just don't know.
Yeah.
And it went from, damn, you can't help me, to I salute you for not pretending.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't just give me some cookie cutter bullshit to get me out of your face.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not really sure, you know, honestly, son, I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, what you got going on? Like, I've gotten more advice from my father in the last 10 years than I've gotten, well, not 10, maybe 5 years, that I've gotten in a long time. And it's because I've hit a certain point that he can relate to.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I was there. This is what I had to do because I know exactly where you at. Right. Like, and I had to get, you know, I had to do X, Y, and Z to get through that so I can relate to that. Right. And he said, but once I got past that and got out of that, you saw the way things went. Right. And he said, it didn't take, he said, and I didn't change nothing. I was just consistent in what I did every single day. He said, and he was like, just be consistent. Like, keep doing what you're doing. It got you this far, so you're doing something right. Keep doing. And that was some of the best advice he gave me, right? Because I was kind of discouraged by a lot of different things. And I said, man, Pops, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure this thing out, you know what I mean? And it's tough when it's like you said, like, niggas, you know, after niggas pay their bills, nigga got enough money to, you know what I mean, go to Zaxby's real quick, get a little big Zax snap meal. Or I might go to Chick-fil-A and get a large fry.
A large?
Huh? Might get me a little large money. Fry. You feel me? A little strawberry lemonade. Something fancy, you know, something nice for myself. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Go to Starbucks and get me a little, you know, a little strawberry refresher. The lemonade, you feel me? But the thing about
the new fucking blacks,
you feel me? Yeah, something tasty, you feel me? You feel me? But so it's tough because it's like in their eyes, it's like, well, you're doing great. In your eyes, you're like,
I'm not doing good enough.
I'm not doing good. I know what I can do. This is the tip.
You just hit the I know what I can do. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm capable of mindset. Is you, it sucks that you can't share that with everyone, and you only can share that with people that I don't want to say think like you, but almost is like think like you.
That's about what it is.
Because if I'm down about some stuff, don't be like, oh well, I get it, but yeah, like I'm appreciative, I'm thankful where I am, but I always tell people, and me and you talk about this when we bounce ideas off each other, like I'd be like, bruh, I know what I'm capable of, bro. And if I can just tap back into that or get that synergy going again, bro, I don't want to call you and you telling me, well, you just need to stop tripping because X, Y, Z. No shit. No shit, all right?
Because it takes having real friends that can say, nah, nigga, you got it. I know you got it.
I know what you're talking about.
Because I've been with you and I've seen you in that zone, right? And maybe right now I feel from you, you don't feel like you there yet, but I know you can get there because I've seen you lock in. Now, maybe I haven't seen you accomplish what you are accomplished yet, but what I have seen you do, I've seen you in a mode that's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I really appreciate and love my friends, right? My friend group, because like I've watched every last one of us lock in on something and achieve absolute greatness out of nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, like nigga, shit, just tap in, bro. You did it before. I wouldn't tell you had it if I never seen you.
You had the blueprint.
You got it in you. It's right there. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a cliche thing. It's not a cheering you on, pat you on the back thing. It's the truth. It's like, yeah, nah, nigga, like you got it in you. You know what I'm saying? But I think for our parents, it's also the back end of it. It's like a situation where we saying, man, son, you doing so much better than I ever was that you should just be happy.
What you complaining about?
And be grateful.
What you complaining about?
Like, bitch, eggs is $4. Nigga, what you mean what I'm complaining about?
We have bust our ass to get to this point in life.
Exactly.
Everything's high as hell.
It's so sad that niggas had to grind. I'm talking niggas grinded to reach, like you said, a level of success, a level of money, and all the things only.
Keep working.
Gotta do more, nigga.
Crack the whip a little harder.
Nigga, if it was right now, I put it this way. Movies like The Wood, The Brothers with Shamar Moore and them niggas.
Yeah.
Tico Play That Game. When we see these young, successful black professionals, and we like, yeah, nigga, I'ma get there. Me and my niggas gonna get there. Do you know that we're more than likely making more money than them niggas was making in the movie?
That's crazy.
them niggas was driving fucking Porsches and Beamers, had all the bitches and all the shit, and we out here busting ass at work. Ass. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to get right. Like, it's insane. I saw
something online that said that the age that the women were and waiting to exhale mm-hmm. is the age of our female friends right mm-hmm. now.
Like, and look at them. Look at them. Tied.
They fighting over 50-50 who gonna pay what?
He's a good man. But I could believe it. It's funny. Peta started watching Desperate Housewives, and I was asking her, I wonder how old these women were in this movie.
Yeah.
Our age.
Yeah.
33, 34.
It's crazy.
35. Insane. This is what you going on? You 34, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, high school graduate, all this shit.
No, she was popping that thing early.
Yeah, she was, especially you 35 with her.
Yeah.
But fact of the matter is, like, you dealing with all this shit. Your husband done died and all this shit. You fucking with this other nigga. He obsessed with you. He done with switching your husband medicine out. He got heart problems. Like, he done died. Cause he had a heart. Yeah, it was insane. Like, yeah, you know,
that's a mess.
Complete mess. you don't even get me started on this for Housewives. So it's funny because it goes back to the joke that we always had, right? Man, why the fuck my grandma always tell me we in our last days? Why my days gotta be the last goddamn days?
I'm still trying to live.
Yeah, I'm still trying to
do. I'm just getting started.
Yeah, then you think about, like, damn, maybe grandma was right. Maybe grandma was right. Maybe it really is.
Because it just makes sense. It makes it seem like their days are just golden.
Yep. Exactly. And they were.
You have to think about it. Me and Jasmine were just talking about this. You have to think about it. Back then, stuff was so simple. And there's always a conversation about how did our parents do it mm-hmm. or what we're doing. For one, they didn't have as many distractions.
Right.
They had no cell phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had a little bit of money, you know, they got the cell phone pager, but mm-hmm. it was on social media, things like that. Mm-hmm. When we were kids, mama came home. Mama wasn't on Instagram.
Nope.
Mama came home, was like, let me got these clothes. Let me go ahead. She had already took whatever out the night before, prep whatever. Mm-hmm. She was helping out with your homework. She was cooking. It was easy because they literally, what else did they have to do?
Mm-hmm.
They did not get caller ID until we were, elementary, going into middle school? That's when Call ID came out.
Probably
that's when it came on the screen. Because remember, you used to have to hit star or whatever, and it would call. It would tell you what the last number.
Will call them back.
It would tell you the last number that called. But you got to think about how simple life was. You go home, you watch the show.
Yeah, Call ID was probably middle school.
Yeah,
probably middle school.
YouTube didn't come out till middle school.
YouTube was high school.
Yeah,
YouTube was high school. YouTube.
Matter of fact, YouTube came out when Fantasia won American Idol.
Yeah, it was like between my sophomore and junior year because I distinctly remember. I talk about when we used to do the Tracy McGrady basketball camps, and I still remember being in a hotel. We watching YouTube clips. It was this football player. I watched his highlights, and Tracy walked through the lobby and saw us in mm-hmm. there, and was like, "What y'all doing?" And I was like, "We're watching these clips on YouTube." He's like, "YouTube? That was YouTube." I'm like, "YouTube? Like, this is how early YouTube was." Like, and this is Tracy McGrady, one of the best NBA players in the world at the time. Like, all the things, and niggas like, "What is YouTube?" Like, he didn't even know what the fuck that was, right? So it's like, again, a scenario. So, yeah, like, everything was new. We didn't have...
Everything was so simple.
Even for us growing up, like you said, it was super simple. So I think about an adult, you don't even know who the fuck calling, right?
You got to answer the phone.
Yeah, you got
to
answer the phone.
Or you're going to tell them to call and hang up and call again.
Yeah, that's some old plan. That's some plan shit, though. Yeah, call, hang up, and I'm going to call you. Call, hang up, call back. I know it's you. You know what I'm saying? So... You know, again, the distractions weren't there. Now they're abundant and all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to say, well, just log off. Well, you can't, because at this point, it's pretty much a part of life. Mm-hmm. You're doing yourself a disservice by not being up to date on what's going on social media. A lot of times, you know, social media is the one, if you play it right, can be the one unbiased news source you can get. You just seen like this. I didn't realize in Savannah the flooding was that bad in Richmond Hill.
Yeah.
Until I saw a fucking video today. I'm like, oh shit.
Nah, like it was Bradley. Did you see Bradley Point?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm like, damn. Like,
but you wouldn't know these things if you didn't have all that. So.
Exactly. I imagine 15, 20 years ago, no idea. Like, you just hearing about, oh, flooding's bad over here. They got these roads closed.
That's all you know.
Okay.
Roads closed.
You know, roads closed, and that's it. Can't come back. I think about when Hurricane Matthew hit Savannah. And I was still living there at the time. And I remember we couldn't come back home without fucking social media, without mm-hmm. having been able to have C-Van walking through fucking Westgate and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In Westlake and all the other shit, and walking through Cloverdale and all these, and seeing how bad the flooding was. How else do we know?
Yeah.
We just, y'all told us it's flooded, but how the fuck do we know, right? Mm-hmm. No, we want to see these niggas out here waist deep in water. saying, no, stay your ass where you at, because ain't shit here right now.
Yeah.
Like, this shit got to go down. Is what, you know what I mean? So it's important, and you're doing yourself a disservice not to be using it, but the negative and all the bad that comes from it, that comes from, it used to be, I think about a simpler time of Twitter where the only tweets you saw were people you follow. And you can mute certain shit.
Yeah,
you
can't we should get back to that.
We can't do it no more, right? Same thing with Instagram, right? Like, for the most part on Instagram, you only see who you follow. But it's
Instagram used to tell who pictures you had liked.
Yeah, they did.
You remember when it first came out? It was like an info or whatever, and it was like, booby just liked.
Oh, yeah. To all your fucking business.
Real messy.
Yeah, real messy. But that's also back on Instagram. You wouldn't be posting no ass. You'd be posting just a picture of the sky. Little clouds. It wasn't until letting the Androids come in there, the pussy started popping. That's when the pussy started popping on Instagram. Was when the Android niggas came in there.
I believe that.
And it is true.
We used to be a proper country.
We were. Then started having the pussy started popping, and they started posting them little tweegrams.
Yeah.
Niggas would put in a paragraph.
Those are the good days.
Y'all love this nigga. He can't even take care of his fucking kids.
Also, I mean, I also feel like Facebook was better before it was open to the general public.
Full grandma got
him. No elitism. But yeah, when you had to have a college email.
It was lit.
To get on Facebook. Once they let everybody else on there.
Inclusion.
Then grandma got on there commenting on all your pictures.
Listen, I understand all that DEI shit, but
let's rethink.
Sometimes you bring too many. Look, what they always say, too many cooks spoil the soup.
Yeah. I'm one of the I was about to say the Biden Harris, but it's the Harris walls.
Harris
walls. The windows to the walls. But
That'd be hard.
I wonder if the administration can put something in place around Facebook to bring back segregation.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Because that's how they eat.
That's absolutely dead.
From everybody seeing it. So it was a nice try.
Yeah, it's over with. Ain't no fucking way. It's over with. Shy, do you think they gonna win?
Hey, that man ain't coming in hot.
Listen, man.
He's coming in hot, and he just has the America white dad story.
The cool one, though. He's a cool teacher. And it's cool funny because he was a teacher.
He was a teacher. He was in the military.
Yeah, he checks all the boxes.
Like, he checks all the American boxes, which I feel like is going to have them like, damn.
He's the all-American guy that you cool with. You know what I mean? The cool teacher, the one who writes the hall pass.
I mean, even Donald Trump said that he was great.
Yeah. Like niggas know.
How can you bash this man when it's documentation? Video? Like, you saying how
he's dope.
Good of a governor he is.
Yeah, he's so dope.
That, you know, and we talked about politics on the last episode, but I think after we saw Brother Walls and came into the picture, I'm just like, they could really win this thing.
Mm-hmm. They could pull it off.
Because he is just like the American dream.
It's very similar to what they did for Barack. When they brought in Biden.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody everybody liked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had... Now, Biden had a little bit of a little more dirt on his shirt than the Walls did, because Biden had been doing it so long.
Yeah.
Because Biden was old as hell then.
This man ain't got no dirt.
You know what I mean? None.
He just
all-American good guy.
This is just a good...
He's the one, and you may not be able to relate to this, but he's the white man your mama will let you ride home from practice with. You know, he could take you home. You can only ride home... With your friends or Mr. Walls.
Or Mr. Walls.
Mr. Walls.
He's a good person.
He's a good guy. He's going to drop you off in that raggedy ass, no offense to Rusty Ford Ranger, and he going to drop you off. You're going to ride in the back. He's going to talk to you along the way. He's going to be out the driver's side talking to you.
He's going to talk to you the whole car ride.
So, Miles, tell me about it. He's going to make you feel good. You know what I'm saying? He's the teacher that will give you a little extra money for lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go get your little pizza, man. Here go $2.
You know what? You've been doing good.
You know what?
Keep this Twin Heat.
Yeah. You know what? Glasses, you all right with me. But yeah. But yeah, man. So I honestly feel a lot better about it.
Yeah.
I did see that Kamala's supposed to be releasing some policy shit. And it's going to be her first release of her platform since she took over for Biden, which I feel is going to be very, very important. Going forward, because that's what they're going to kind of propose in. I'm encouraged. I'm definitely encouraged, man. So speaking of, obviously, I know she probably had being president at some point on her bucket list, man. So tell me 5 things that are on your bucket list.
5 things that are on my bucket list to do. One, we can go back and forth with this. So